Father, we thank you that your love is never ending and that your desire for us is to be happy. I pray that as we study your word, that our eyes will be open to what your definition of happiness is. I pray for our ears to hear. I pray for the words that are spoken, that they be yours. And I pray that in this time of study, you will multiply our knowledge of you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. You don't have to buy anything. I'm not selling any special oil that's going to make you happy or send this out. No. God wants you to be happy. But our definition of happy and His definition of happy sometimes lead us astray to places that make us happy for this long and then it's gone. Happiness for us oftentimes is an emotional state that's really high and you don't stay there long. Something will bring you down. But God's happiness is never ending. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 5. We are examining in our pursuit of happiness the Beatitudes. I told you last week, if you weren't here, for much of my life, I completely misunderstood the Beatitudes. I was out in left field on them. I read them as at different points in my life, if this happened to me, then I would be blessed. Or if that happened, I would. That's not what God is talking about here. Remember the setting. He has amassed a huge following of people. They are following Him for many different reasons. Some of them because it's just the latest thing to do. He's something to see. Others are quite curious because His message is very different than what they've been taught. And others are finding themselves committed and buying into what He is saying. So they are following Him. He goes up on the hill and He sits them all down. And He's going to begin to teach. And He starts with what we know as the Beatitudes. Now, in this day, and many of your Bibles, it's every one of the Beatitudes, if you've memorized them the way I have, they start, blessed are, blessed are. That phrase in the original language, blessed are, means a state of happiness. So think of these when we look through them. Happy are, read it that way, happy are, which finds ourselves with the crazy happy that Jesus is trying to get us to, which is the reason for this hamburger. Okay, if you weren't here last week, this is not something you would normally see in a Baptist church, but it is an illustration for us to understand that if we're going to be happy the way Jesus wants us to be happy, you have to have all of this. Okay? Now, I know you probably don't eat your hamburger with all of this. Okay? But God ain't Burger King. Okay? You don't get it your way. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you're going to have all of this. Okay? That's what the state of happiness that the psalmist is talking about. You got to build the whole hamburger, and you got to have it all. Let's look at them. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read them all, and then we're going to continue on examining them. Verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So here's what we have to understand. This is one person. Okay? He said, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. That's one person. That's you and that's me. We have to be all of these things. That's what this hamburger illustrates. Okay? We have to have them all. We have to be them all. And they are the same person. And that person is a person who is following Christ, who has given their life to Him. That's what we've done. And He's illustrated it for us. If you want to know what it means to be a Christian, this is the clearest and best place in all of Scripture. You are hearing from Jesus what it means to be a Christian. There's no other place that He spells it out with such clarity that if you're going to be a follower of mine, He's telling this crowd, if you're going to be a follower of mine, and He's telling you and I, you're going to be a follower of mine, this is what you look like. This is who you are. And so we started last week, blessed are the poor in spirit. We looked at, that means that poor in spirit is realizing your spirit is missing something. And that's God. That is the realization that I need a Savior. That's where that's defined, and He opens that up. We talked about the illustration of when Adam and Eve sinned, their spirit became poor. All the wealth drained out of them, and they were empty in need of a Savior. That's where you and I come to realize I need Christ. Second, or blessed are those who mourn. Those people, He's not talking about losing something and mourning. He's talking about people who come to realize my sin put Jesus on the cross. My sin put Him on the cross. And when you begin to mourn your sin, you'll be comforted by the Holy Spirit, because that's the point you realize I put Jesus on the cross. When you grab a hold of that and understand that, I put Him on the cross. I did it. If you love Him, if you're poor in spirit, that will break your heart. And that's at the point you realize who Jesus is and what He did for you. Which brings us today to blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's the tomato. Blessed are the meek. Now that word, we don't use that word a lot. Meek, when you think of meek, there's a mental picture of a wiry little weakling. Meek is not weak. Okay? Get that picture out of your head. That's not who Jesus is talking about. Meek are people who understand who's in control. Meek are people who understand who's in control. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom. They shall inherit the earth. Think about it like this. In 1994, I think my time frame is right, unless my memory is failing me, the Buffalo Bills just lost their fourth Super Bowl in a row. Okay? They lost their fourth Super Bowl in a row. To who?
The Cowboys.
All right. I want to make sure y'all understand. Thurman Thomas, one of the greatest running backs in history, fumbled twice. Probably the reason they lost that game, among other things, he's on the sideline after the game, just realizing and letting it set in that he's lost another Super Bowl, and this one he had a lot to do with it. He's sitting on the sideline. Emmett Smith comes up to him with his goddaughter. Emmett has just been named the MVP of the game. He walks up to Thurman Thomas with his goddaughter and says to her, "I want you to meet the greatest running back ever." Okay? That's meek. That is somebody who is humble. Regardless of your affiliation and your thought of Emmett Smith, one thing that he always was through his career was very humble about how good he was, because he was never full of himself. He understood in the history of the game where his place was. Meek for you and I is understanding who we are in this game of life and who's in control. In the society that we live, people try very hard to be somebody. You ever heard that? "I'm going to be somebody." No, you're not. Because you know what? As soon as you think you're good at it, somebody will be better. I don't care what it is. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you got in your bank account. There's somebody's got more. A meek person understands their place. And Jesus is telling a crowd of people, meek will inherit the earth. Now, another thing we have to understand about this day and age is inheritance was incredibly important. And if you were not, if you didn't stand up for yourself, your inheritance would be gone. It would be taken from you. You had to stand up and be heard. And so these people understood inheritance. It was really important. And if you don't stand up, you might get robbed out of your inheritance. So Jesus is telling them, in a contradictory way in their mind, those people who step back and say, somebody else is in control, they're going to inherit more than those people who are grasping for anything they can get their hands on. I heard a story about a fisherman. He had gone out, he'd caught fish, and he was sitting by his boat, just enjoying the day. A rich industrialist came up to him and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Just enjoying the day." He said, "Why aren't you fishing?" He goes, "I've caught enough fish for today." And he goes, "But why don't you catch more?" And he goes, "Why do I need to catch more?" And he goes, "Then you can have enough money to buy another boat." And he goes, "What would I do with another boat?" And he goes, "Then you could catch more fish." And he goes, "What would I do with those more fish?" And he goes, "Sell them." And I goes, "For what?" He goes, "Then you could have a fleet of boats. And you could have all kind of people working for you. And you could become very wealthy." And he goes, "Then what would I do?" And he goes, "Then you could sit back and enjoy the day." To which the wise old fisherman looked at him and said, "I'm already doing that. And I don't have all the headache." When we focus on things, we get our eyes off the only thing that matters. And so Jesus is saying to us and this crowd that if you're meek, if you understand God's in control and you're focused on letting Him lead your life, you're going to inherit the earth. Now, let's examine that. What does that mean? Hold on. There we go. Turn with me somewhere. Nope, not there. Inherit the earth. Okay. Okay. Revelations 21. Revelations 21, verse 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared." Okay? So, this is the vision that John has. If you see verse 5, it says, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" So this is a foretelling of what's to come for us, that God's going to make everything new. Why does everything need to be made new? Because we messed it up. Okay? Genesis 3, verse 17, God says to Adam, since you listened to your wife, don't take that out of context, men. "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground will be cursed because of you. Because of you. And all your life you will scratch out a living from it." So, we messed it up and we cursed this earth. And God is going to make it new. Okay? So, what Jesus is telling us and telling this group is the meek will inherit the earth, which means those who are poor in spirit and mourn their sin and understand that I am in control will spend eternity with me on this new earth. So, the tomato is meek. And new earth. Jesus is saying, if you are these things, you're going to spend eternity with me in heaven. But it takes me realizing I'm not in control and understanding that my sin put Christ on the cross and I need a Savior. Then he goes on to say, "Blessed are those who hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." You ever been hungry for something and didn't know what it was? And then you eat something and you go, "Nope, that wasn't it." Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. "Nope, that wasn't it. I can't quite find it." Jesus is talking about for us to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. What is righteousness? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is righteousness. So read that verse again. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for Jesus. They will be filled. John chapter 5. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus replied, this one you know by heart, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. Whoever believes in me will never thirst again. Jesus is telling us, when you get hungry for Him, you'll be filled. The problem is, we try to fill that hunger, and it's a hunger not in your physical body, but your soul. We try to fill that with all kind of stuff that's going to make us happy. I can promise you at some point in your life, you said, if I have X, I'll be happy. I said this last week. If I have X, I'll be happy. If so-and-so marries me, I'll be happy. Huh? If I live here, I'll be happy. If I have this job, if I get this, I'll be happy. And every single time, you were hungry again for something else. And what Jesus is telling us, when we hunger for Him, we'll be filled. But until then, we're always going to be hungry. We're never going to find what fills our soul. So, if you're still filling out your chart, if you still have one, this is a double meat burger. It doesn't look like it. Okay, this is a double meat. It's a double. And what goes in here is hungry and thirsty. Righteousness. You can't take part of this hamburger. You have to take it all. If you're going to understand and be filled with crazy happiness, you got to have the whole hamburger. You can't just take that out, take this out. No, the whole thing. Because what Jesus is building here is the clearest example of what it means to be a follower of Christ. It starts with somebody who realizes, I need a Savior, and who understands their sin and understand that He's in control and thirsty and hungry for Him. When's the last time you've been hungry for Jesus? When's the last time you've been hungry for Jesus? The thing about being hungry for Him is nothing else will ever fill you up after you have had that. Everything else will leave you empty. And you want more of that. And He gives you the promise. When you start hunger, what's that word? If you start hungering, is that a word? Hungering? For me, you're going to be filled. When you seek, When you're thirsty and you seek me, you'll be filled. My mother, the whole time I was trying to grow up, the whole time I was growing up, she kept telling me, drink water, drink water, drink water. You ever had that feeling? Ugh, water. Blah. That was my reaction. The whole time I was growing up, blah, I don't like water. I just don't like it. She said her grandmother told her, just keep drinking water. Just keep drinking water. If you keep drinking water, you're going to get to a place one day where that's all you ever want. Okay? I did that. And I'm at that place. All I ever want is water. See, it's got no taste. You didn't drink enough. Drink more water. You keep drinking water, you get to the place where that's all you ever want is water. What Jesus is telling us is all the things we try to fill our lives to fill that thirst with, if you keep filling it with Him, that's all you ever want. That's all you ever want. And when you get to being filled with that righteousness, I spelled that wrong. When you get to that place, you'll know what full be means. You need a Savior. Your sin put Him on the cross. He's in control. And I want more of Him. We're halfway home on this hamburger. But it's a good hamburger. It is a really good hamburger. It's the best one you'll ever eat. Pray with me. Father, I thank You that You loved us enough to die for us. And Your desire for us is to have a happy life. A life that is full and rewarding, and what You understand is what we need to know. The only way that's possible is through You. I pray that You open our minds and our hearts and make us hungry for You. Make us humble before You. Let us mourn over the sin that put You on the cross so that we truly know that we need a Savior. Father, I pray for every person in this room. I pray that, Father, our lives be handed over to You. I pray for anyone in here who doesn't know You. I pray that You move through them and draw them to You. I pray Your Holy Spirit would tug at their heart and they would come to know You. For those of us who have given our lives to You, but we've been trying to fill it with other things, Father, open our eyes and let us see how much we need to turn our lives back over to You. Father, take this time and use it to Your glory. And it's in Your name I pray. Amen.